You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea! That's right. 91.9 FM on the Island Dial, 104.7 on Oahu, 95.1 on the Cable Action. If you're in Hanalei, 90.9 FM, and in the Anahola Maloa area, 92.7 FM. DJ Schutz, thanks for rocking the house, helping us with the transition. A little Schutz action to some out-of-the-box fun. That's right. I'm Laura Christine, and this is the Get Low Show. Not streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. Phone lines will be open, but at the moment they're not. So be patient, please. And I hope you're feeling better. Because I know I'm feeling all right. We've got a two-hour show ahead. An out-of-the-box special this Thursday. To appeal or not to appeal? That is the question. We have attorney at law, Paul Achitoff from Earth Justice, calling in a little bit after the top of the hour. Tim Kalai helping out in the booth. DJ Schutz on his way home, leaving us with a little Santana for you. Hope you enjoy it. Because you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola. And if you're on Haleiwa side, K284AL on the gathering place of Oahu. Is that you? That's right, no matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. This out-of-the-box show is made possible by the good folks like you, in partnership with the good people at, well, gotta find out, because, you know, there's this new shift happening here. If I hit the play button, will it do what it's supposed to do? There we go. Maybe the good people at Kalaheo Chiropractic and Hawaii Gaga can convince you to become a member and listener-supported Kauai Community Radio, just like that.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans in Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 832-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
I thought there was more than that. Maybe the folks at Mokihana Festival and the Political Archive, PSA, will somehow manifest itself shortly. But mahalos for supporting Kauai Community Radio. That's the little tag that I'm supposed to add at the end of it all. So we'll probably hear that again. I just want to thank you for being here now, listening to this Out of the Box show. Tim Kalai. Tim, are you on a mic there? One, two, three, four. Here we go.
Here I go.
Yeah.
Hey, aloha. Brother. Aloha. Aloha, everybody out there.
Thank you for joining us here in the studio.
It is my honor and my pleasure.
It is a pleasure, and it is an honor to be here for you, the listener. And we've got a little less than 2 hours of talk and a community forum. This is a public affairs show that highlights you, the listener, and your community, and some select individuals who can call in and get their mana'o over the airwaves. Sometimes they're self-selected, and sometimes they're, well, appointed by the
powers to be.
Disc jockey at hand.
Ooh.
Volunteer radio, this is how it works.
That's
I'm going to try to get my wave cart happening the way I remember it to be. For whatever reasons, there's a number of things looking different on the computer screen, but never mind. You guys just enjoy the music that we got happening for you, and we'll get a show happening here soon enough. It is a little bit after 4:05. I have Paul Achita from Earth Justice to come talk story a little bit about the recent Ordinance 960, the decision by federal judge to rescind 960, I guess, invalidate it and suggest that the state laws supersede the desire of the ordinance to set up some type of monitoring and regulating of pesticides, as well as some inclusion of GMO testing and whatnot. So hopefully the caller, our guest, will be able to provide a little insight as to what happens if the county decides not to appeal, or what happens if the county decides to appeal, and what happens if there's a counter appeal, because we're in that court kind of game.
It doesn't sound very appealing.
No. And when you're in a court game, it goes from one side to the other, you know, and there's like this side of the court and that side of the court. So hopefully we'll get a better understanding of it all. The phone lines will be open afterwards when we finish our conversation with Paul Achitoff. I haven't any other guests lined up. Tim is going to bring some mana'o about a couple things. I know last show we had Councilmember Gary Hooser in the booth, and we talked story about county issues as well as re-election plans by himself. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the
council meeting yesterday, hopefully.
We'll talk about that, but also the workshop that members here on the North Shore and elsewhere were participating in, a trails workshop and a community gathering where folks were able to share a little bit about their experience and their mana'o, why it's important for us to save the Alaloa, save the historic walking trails, and then be able to use them for recreational and cultural and a number of reasons that they have value to our community. So with that, we're going to get on our we get our phone call. Our first phone call is here, so I'm going to press the right button, I hope, and see if Aloha caller, are you there?
This is Paul.
Aloha, Paul. Thank you for joining us. Paul Achita from Earth Justice. You can hear me fine?
I can.
Oh, terrific. And it looks like you're recording on the monitor here. It's bouncing up and down when you speak, so that's a good sign. Paul, thanks so much for joining us here on Out of the Box and Kauai Community Radio.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
For listeners that haven't been following the story, Paul Achitoff is a lawyer for Earth Justice. And tell us a little about Earth Justice, Paul, will you?
Earth Justice is a national nonprofit that is an environmental law firm, and it's been around for over 40 years, and it's had an office in Honolulu for 25 years. And we represent all kinds of public interest groups in enforcing environmental laws of many different kinds.
And I remember just recently seeing an advertisement and saying something along, the earth needs a good lawyer. And I'd have to agree, at times it becomes a contentious issue that gets resolved in courts. And that's why I asked you to join us to share a little insight in your mana'o about this recent ruling by a federal judge. I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Curran. And he pronounced that Ordinance 960 was invalid and that the state laws preempted some of the issues brought up by the lawsuit filed by some of Kauai and the state's leading chemical manufacturers and producers.
Right. Well, what would you like to know?
Well, first off, I guess the ruling by this was in federal court, correct?
That's right. Judge Curran is a federal magistrate.
And why did it go to federal court in as opposed to the state court? Why was this a federal issue?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that much of it, if not all of it, ought to have been in state court, frankly, since the real core of the lawsuit was an argument that the ordinance was preempted by Hawaii state law. And that was the argument that Judge Curran ultimately found in favor of the plaintiffs on. And so you had the federal court judge who was being asked to interpret state law, and in fact an area of state law that is has some real uncertainty in it. So in that type of situation, you typically would prefer that a state court would say what the law is. And in fact, the county's attorneys specifically asked the court to what's called certify the question to the Hawaii Supreme Court on this very question of state law preemption. Judge Curran declined to do that, but I think that was a legitimate request.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Will the state Supreme Court get involved if...
Well, had Judge Curran granted that request, or for that matter, if the matter is appealed and the request is made to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and it grants that request, which it could, then the question would be put to the Hawaii Supreme Court, and the federal court would ask the Hawaii Supreme Court, you know, we have this question, here is the question, and, you know, it's not entirely clear what the state law is on this issue, and we would appreciate it if you would tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been done before, and in fact, it's specifically been done by Hawaii federal courts on questions of state law preemption. But it was not done in this case.
Uh-huh. And is there potential for that to happen in future filings, or...
If the case is appealed, and it would go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then the appellants could ask the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to certify any question of state law to the Hawaii Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
and then the Court of Appeals would consider that.
And let's talk about that Ninth Circuit Court and the appeal process. Who would hear the appeal?
It would be heard by a panel of three federal judges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wouldn't know who exactly those judges are until, you know, well after the process of appeal is underway. Typically not until the matter is going to be heard, soon before the matter is actually argued.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the typical process.
And, the Ninth Circuit Court is only going to hear this if the county appeals the decision, if the county decides to that, or if the Earth Justice and Center for Food Safety decides to appeal on behalf of the interveners in this case?
That's correct. Either the county or the interveners, or both of them, of course, could decide to appeal.
Mm-hmm. And the interveners in this situation are community groups. Are you at liberty to share with listeners who those interveners are or what the groups are and their interests?
The interveners are a combination of established environmental and public interest groups like Surfrider Foundation, Pesticide Action Network North America, Center for Food Safety, which is an intervener as well as an attorney on the matter,
mm-hmm.
and also a group, Kamakane Ho'opono, which is a group of West Side residents that essentially got together and organized themselves because of their interest in the issues presented by this ordinance, because they're personally affected because they live and their kids go to school and so forth near where this spraying occurs.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would trigger community interveners, those that you just listed, to appeal? Is there a time frame that they must respond to or be mindful of? Is it the same as the county? I understand the county has a month from the decision by Judge Barry Curran. Is it the same guidelines for...
Yes, it's exactly the same. And in fact, all of the rules that would apply to the county apply to the interveners, because the interveners were permitted by Judge Curran to participate in the case as full parties with all of the same rights and obligations as the county,
mm-hmm.
and the plaintiffs, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
All of these groups and companies and so forth, they're all on the same level as parties.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of dialogue goes between the county council, and when I say council, I mean legal counsel, as well as you and your colleagues representing the community interest parties?
I'm not sure what you mean when you say what kind of dialogue. I mean, do we talk about the case at all?
Yeah, are you guys kind of like hooing up, or is it separate? Are you guys going to exchange some strategies? And
It's generally quite separate. The county's attorneys are, you know, clearly the interveners and the county have mutual interests in the sense that, you know, we are all defending the ordinance, but you know, they're different enough that the county has its own lawyers, and you know, we don't know what goes on when the county's attorneys huddle with the county, which is, you know, their client, and the same is true. They don't participate in our discussions with our clients. You know, we may talk about the case with each other in the course of litigation, but generally speaking, our strategizing is separate.
Mm-hmm. And any, I guess, actions taken by the county might not necessarily be either supported or encouraged by your side of the argument. Likewise, your actions might not necessarily be supported by the county attorneys. Is that accurate?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, both the county and the interveners are entitled to make whatever arguments and make whatever strategic decisions they think is best for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, offhand, I can't think of a decision that has been made by either the interveners or the county that conflicts with what the others, you know, has wanted. Nothing comes to my mind, but it's always possible that it could happen, and you know, it's possible that you know, the county will or will not appeal, and that the interveners will or will not appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that has yet to be decided.
Mm. What will decide it for you and the lawyers representing the other community groups to appeal or not to appeal?
Well, I don't mind saying that I believe that the interveners should appeal. I believe that there are some serious questions about the decision that Judge Curran rendered, and I believe that there are some strong arguments that certain aspects of that decision are incorrect, and I think that the interveners ought to appeal, but it's their choice whether to do so and not my choice as their
mm-hmm.
attorney.
Mm-hmm. As the clients, they're kind of in the driver's seat.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They get to decide whether to appeal or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the question also, you know, comes up in regards to how long of a process will this be? Do you have an estimation of how many months or weeks will this take before an actual decision comes about?
Yes, in my experience, an appeal to the Ninth Circuit from the beginning, which would be the notice of appeal, which is due in a couple of weeks from now, until we actually have a decision in hand, I would estimate somewhere between a year and a half and up as long as 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is just kind of the formalities of the process that's involved, that it requires filing of briefs and then scheduling and then making motions and then counter motions like that. Is that what takes as long as it does?
There's not likely to be a lot in the way of motions as there might be in the district court, although there could be, you know, one or two. But generally speaking, the process after you file the notice of appeal, you will soon be told by the Court of Appeals when your opening brief is due, which will generally be a few months after the notice of appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And then that briefing process takes a few months because both sides get to file briefs, a couple of months. And then there's usually a fair amount of waiting for the Ninth Circuit to get around to reviewing the briefs and assigning a panel of judges and scheduling a hearing. That can take, at least, let's say, 9 months after the briefs are already finished. And then once you have the argument, then the court can take however long it wants before actually issuing its written decision. It might issue it in a couple of months, but it might take it, 6 months, 7 months. It's very hard to predict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
how much work they have to do.
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate you sharing this with us. We're on the phone with Paul Achitoff from Earth Justice. He's one of the lawyers who have taken on the case. This is the Ordinance 960 that we're talking about. And for listeners that are just coming up to speed, Ordinance 960 was voted by Kauai County Council and then was subsequently filed suit from four of maybe five chemical companies, Dow, Syngenta, Pioneer, and I'm forgetting someone else. BASF. Thank you. The little guys, the new kids on the block.
Yeah, the biggest chemical company in the world, as far as I know.
They are involved in this, and it is quite a big issue for us. It's been over a year that we've been kind of trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with all this stuff. In your opinion, sir, the decision by Judge Curran that says that federal law doesn't preempt the state's or the county action here. But it sounded like the judge was of the opinion that the state had a comprehensive network to kind of deal with this through the Department of Ag. Do you find that there is maybe some weakness or flaw with that decision? Is that safe to say that maybe the state doesn't have as comprehensive of a network or a program in place?
I think it's pretty clear that the state does not have a comprehensive, what they call a comprehensive statutory scheme, since the pesticide laws that the court cited don't cover any of the things that the ordinance actually covered, which is why the ordinance was deemed necessary. There's nothing, for example, there are no buffer zones in the Hawaii pesticide law. Now, all kinds of arguments were made that there are, that the Department of Agriculture has various powers that could be used to accomplish the goals of the ordinance, but in my view, that does not create a comprehensive statutory scheme. And then when you get to the question of whether there's a comprehensive scheme to address genetically engineered crops, there's no scheme whatsoever. Although I have the highest respect for Judge Curran. I've appeared before him for many years, and, you know, he's a very bright and decent man. I just happen to disagree with him when he says that, there is this clear legislative intent to make the state the sole regulator of genetically engineered crops when there isn't a statute on the books that actually does that.
Now, let me ask you, Paul, if the appeal goes through, or you and the Center for Food Safety decides, or the county decides to appeal, what will happen? We go back to the Ninth Circuit Court. Will the Ninth Circuit Court toss it back to the Hawaii Supreme Court, or they'll make a decision? And what happens after that?
Okay. Well, as I was saying, a request could be made by the county or by the interveners or by both that the Ninth Circuit ask the Hawaii Supreme Court to decide one or more state law issues. And if that request is made, then the Ninth Circuit will decide whether it wants to do that. It has the discretion to do it, but it doesn't have to do it. If it does not do it, or if it does do it and there are other issues that are appealed, such as, there could be arguments about the federal preemption issues that Judge Curran found, that there was no preemption. Well, that's not going to go to, if that's appealed, then that's going to be decided by the Federal Court of Appeals, not the Hawaii Supreme Court. So the Court of Appeals will consider whatever issues it decides it wants to address, it will ask for arguments on those issues and render a decision on those issues, which may be all of the issues that are appealed or, only some of them, if in fact some of it is sent over to the Hawaii Supreme Court.
And this Ninth Circuit District is based out of San Francisco?
It's in San Francisco, and it covers, in addition to Hawaii, a number of other states, including California and other western states. So there's all the federal district courts throughout those states. All those appeals go to the Ninth Circuit.
And so would that require travel to San Francisco to appear before the bench? I'm thinking that I heard yesterday David Minkins, who was part of the special counsel that is representing the county in this, that it's possible that the three-person panel might come to Hawaii for that?
In my experience, it's very possible. I've argued a number of appeals before the Ninth Circuit that have been conducted in Honolulu. I've argued them at courthouses or places that were set aside as courtrooms in Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
Other times the arguments have been held at the University of Hawaii Law School so that students can come and watch.
Hmm.
So that's fairly common, and especially where the case originates in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think in regards to the case? Yesterday, I think it was Councilmember Ross Kagawa asked legal counsel David Minkins the opinion and the briefing that county attorney or deputy attorney Mauna Kea Trask presented. Was it accurate? Was it on the mark? Was it good legal advice? And I think David Minkins' response was on the federal preemption, Mauna Kea was off the mark. And then regarding the state preemption, Mauna Kea was batting 50-50 or batting, had a yes, he was correct in some areas and then no in some others. What would you suggest was the areas that I guess give you most hope or give you confidence that an appeal is appropriate and would be a good path to pursue?
Well, understand that the county attorney's memorandum on these issues covered a lot of ground, as did the plaintiff's complaint. There were, depending on how you count them, somewhere between a dozen and 15 at least different legal arguments that they made, and the court only ruled that they were correct with respect to a very small number, though clearly it was enough so that the ordinance was held to be preempted, so that was that. He didn't have to go and deal with every argument. But there were a lot of arguments that were alleged, just as there were a lot of arguments that were briefed by the county attorney. And it's difficult to say, especially since the court didn't even rule on most of those claims, what the batting average was, mm-hmm. either of the plaintiffs or of the county attorney. To give them credit, they got it, what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, my own view was that there was a great deal in the analysis of the county attorney that I think was incorrect and at best poorly reasoned. But, you can't take away from the fact that the outcome of the case was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
All that being said, I do have confidence that, on appeal, things may shift.
Things may shift. And just because there's three fresh ears or three sets of fresh ears listening to that, would that help the shift? Or is it a way of presenting the information or making the argument? Is that what helps the shift occur?
I don't think there's a need to present the material in a different way. I think that judges can differ as to how they interpret things, especially in a case like this, where I think it's fair to say that on the issue of state preemption, this is not a simple or clear matter. In the wake of Judge Curran's decisions, there was a fair amount of self-congratulation from the mayor and gloating and I told you so, that sort of thing, which, it's understandable. You win a case and you want to thump your chest a little, fine. But realistically, I don't believe that any of the attorneys involved in the case would seriously dispute that the issue was cut and dried or that any reasonable judge would have come out the way that Judge Curran did.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he thought was best. I respect it. However, I think that other judges may well see it differently, and that's what appeals are all about. If one judge's view was the only view that there could be, there wouldn't be not only a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but a Supreme Court to review even, you know, the Court of Appeals decision. So, you know, this, the whole process allows for different judges to review the arguments and take different views.
Now, I guess the question that comes up in regards to concerns that people have raised, is this going to cost the county a lot more money to do an appeal? Is there any argument there that we're throwing good money after bad if you're of the opinion that 2491 or Ordinance 960 is indefensible?
Well, I certainly don't think it's indefensible, and again, I think that as much as the plaintiff's attorneys or the mayor, you know, might like to say that it's indefensible and it's obviously invalid and all of that, I just don't give that any credence. You know, I think that there are very good arguments to be made on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
However, as far as the money, I mean, obviously it's up to the county and between the county and its attorneys, you know, the cost of this thing. But I believe that the county has already allocated funds for the services of their attorneys that are already exist, and the appeal itself is not likely to be you know, all that costly. You know, all of this analysis has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though any of the attorneys are going to be coming up with brand new arguments for the Court of Appeals. There's basically going to take the arguments that have already been drafted and present them in a new brief to the Court of Appeals. But most of the work's already been done.
Mm-hmm. And back to the question of the work that you would do with David Meekins and the county representatives, legal authorities, or legal team, will you guys be conferring? Will you guys do a little kooka about the best ways to approach this? Is this going to be kind of in a vacuum and the intervener side is just going to talk story with the clients and then make a decision regardless of what the county decides to do?
Well, if we're talking about whether or not to appeal, yeah, I think that those decisions are likely to be made in a vacuum. I don't think whether or not the intervener's appeal will affect the county's decision or vice versa. In terms of the arguments themselves, you know, I can't say. It's possible that the attorneys will speak with each other, certainly entitled to, but whether that will occur, I can't really speculate.
Mm-hmm. And back to speculation, is it safe to say that the lawyers, the legal representatives for the, I guess it's the plaintiffs, the seed companies, the chemical companies, that they would appeal if we do appeal and the decision is reversed, that 960 is valid. Is it safe to say that their team is going to mount their best defense and try to appeal to another group of judges?
Well, if the county or the intervener's appeals at this stage, the plaintiffs have the opportunity at the same stage to appeal any issues that they want in the form of what they call a cross appeal. For example, they could, if they want to, appeal Judge Curran's rulings with respect to federal law,
okay,
not preempting the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
They have the plaintiffs have that right. So if there's an appeal that's taken, then all of the parties may have arguments that they want to make about aspects that they think Judge Curran got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the Ninth Circuit were to rule to change some aspect or overrule some aspect, reverse some aspect of Judge Curran's ruling, then the party that didn't like that would have the opportunity to to do further appeals. You know, there's a stage at which you can then, you can seek a rehearing. You can seek what they call an en banc rehearing, where you actually ask a much larger group of Court of Appeals judges to hear the issue. There's also the possibility of the U.S. Supreme Court. Whether any of these issues would go that far, I can't honestly say.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be the first time that the U.S. Supreme Court has heard an issue in the last few years that involves the genetic engineering companies, a matter involving Monsanto and its genetically engineered alfalfa went up to the U.S. Supreme Court just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. And what was the ruling on that, if you could share?
Actually, there were a couple of cases involving genetic engineering that were sent up there, but this particular case, the district court had required that a environmental impact statement be done in connection with the USDA's decision to allow genetically engineered alfalfa onto the market, and this was engineered in order to be to resist the effects of Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, and the district court issued an injunction saying that until this environmental impact statement is done, there cannot be any more planting and growing of this genetically engineered alfalfa.
Mm-hmm.
This went up to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit affirmed, meaning they agreed. Then Monsanto appealed it to the U.S. Supreme Court, saying that the injunction wasn't appropriate, and the U.S. Supreme Court essentially agreed with that and said that because the lower court had determined that to revoke the deregulation, meaning the court had said, until you do this EIS, your permission to the industry to plant this is essentially set aside. Because the court had already done that and no planting could occur anyway, the injunction wasn't appropriate. So the bottom line was, yes, the court agreed with Monsanto that there was that an injunction shouldn't have been issued, but on the other hand, there wasn't going to be any planting anyway because of other aspects of the court's ruling, so the injunction was unnecessary.
Hmm.
Kind of a complicated way of saying that in the case as a whole, the court decided that they needed to do an EIS, which the government had previously refused to do, and in the meantime, there wasn't going to be any production of that crop.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to the issue of where will this go next. Is there a preference? Do you guys have a home court advantage? Do you want it to go to the Hawaii State Supreme Court, or would you prefer that it goes all the way to the Supreme Court or just stays at the district court level?
Oh, you know, in the district court, the county did ask Judge Curran to ask the Hawaii Supreme Court to address the state preemption issue. And as I said before, I think that was a reasonable and legitimate request because it was a central issue in the case, and there isn't any state case that clearly decides the issue. I think that's still the case. And I believe that if the issue is appealed, it's reasonable to again ask the Hawaii Supreme Court to weigh in on the issue because this is a state law issue, and we have a system of law here where the federal courts are required to defer to the state courts. If the law is clear, and the state law is clear, then the federal courts can apply it. But where it isn't entirely clear, it's appropriate to have the state courts themselves say what the law is. And I think that's arguably the situation here. But whether or not the Hawaii Supreme Court or the Ninth Circuit decides these issues, I think that there's a good chance of prevailing on the appeal.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to end on such short notice, Paul. So thank you for joining us. I'm certainly not wanting to rush you off the phone, but I just looked up and realized I've had you on longer than I said when we exchanged the emails this morning. Paul, is there anything you would like to share with listeners in regards to keeping abreast of this issue, ways to stay involved or stay informed, anything that would be helpful for folks concerned with this matter?
Well, I guess I only want to say that I am well aware how disappointing it was that the case came out as it did. It was just disappointing to me and to many people. But I just want to encourage people to understand that the matter is not over with, and that it's important to follow this through. And in particular, there's an election coming up, and I think it's critically important that people participate in the democratic process and vote this November, because it's, you know, these types of issues need people in the county council and in the legislature who will address the needs of the people, and so I just urge people to go out and register to vote and do their democratic duty.
Well, that's great advice. It's certainly not a call to action, you know, to suggest that members of our community stay informed and stay engaged and to register to vote and participate at the highest level that they possibly can. And voting certainly isn't that taxing for us. But for some reason, it seems to be a challenge for many of us to find our ways to the polls, or at least find ourselves to the website to get information about our candidates and what's going on. Paul Achitoff, thank you so much for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio, and good luck with the proceedings, and hope to hear more from you in the coming weeks.
Thanks very much, and thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
That was Paul Achitoff from Earth Justice. We'll be taking a little musical interlude because, you know, nobody told me there'd be days like these.
There'll be days like this, when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this, when you don't need to worry. There'll be days like this, when no one's in a hurry. There'll be days like this, when all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they do. And I must remember, there'll be days like this, when you don't need an answer. There'll be days like this, when you don't need a chance. There'll be days like this, when you don't get the trade. And I must remember, there'll be days like this. Not quite. There'll be days like this. When no one steps on my dreams, there'll be days like this. People understand what I mean. There'll be days like this. When you rang out the changes about everything. When my mama told me, there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me, she said, there'll be days like this.
There you go. My mama told me there'd be days like this. And we are back in the booth. Tim Kalai answering the phone calls. The phone number is 826-7771. If you're off island, it's 866-275-1112. That's right, 275-1112. Area code 866 for the free, toll-free number. Give us a call. It was an interesting conversation with Paul Achitoff. I was curious because yesterday the council got a chance to hear from special counsel. David Minkins representing the, I guess the legal team of, I got to hear somewhere, where to go. It's the law firm of McCorston, Miller, Mukai, and McKinnon. There's a whole lot of M's in that legal team.
Yeah.
And they are representing the county. That was the special funds made available because our county attorney needs a little extra boost there. You know, we had an opportunity to get some pro bono legal, if you will, legal services, and the county decided to pay a little extra for the folks at McCorston, Miller, Mukai, and McKinnon. So on our Facebook page, we got a little bit of this media fact sheet that was disclosed yesterday by the lawyer David Minkins, who's representing McCorston, Miller, Mukai, McKinnon. They are trying to put the information out there so folks can understand a little bit better what did the judge rule in. That's Judge Barry Curran who read that. We got a phone caller here. Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Thanks so much.
Sure, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us and hearing Out of the Box.
Could you or would you please characterize the position of the county's legal team? Do you think they will be fair to all parties concerned?
Yeah, gosh, I really don't know. And just, you know, from listening to what I saw yesterday on the cable TV or either through the internet, there is a group that on the council that have great confidence in this appeal, that there is a chance or there's hope that there is better luck getting this reviewed by a panel as opposed to an individual. And then there's others on the council that feel you know, the county attorney gave some good legal advice and said,
"What was that?"
Well, it was that this is not going to be a past legal muster, and it's not going to stand up in a court of law, and that we're going to lose. And those folks who feel that way were validated by Judge Curran's decision to say Ordinance 960 is invalid.
Yeah, I'm not totally familiar with all the ramifications of our legal system. And after Paul's presentation, the question I wanted to ask him, and I know he's a busy man, was that, you know, how will the appellate judges, you know, parse out, sift through, determine of the 15 or so arguments or points in the appeal? How will they determine How will they determine their final, make up their final judgment whether the plaintiff's action should be honored or not? I wish I knew more about the appellate process, but I don't.
Yeah, you and me both.
The thing that, you know, the first question, of course, is, I mean, I guess the plaintiffs could take it to the federal level for whatever, I don't understand. The thing is, and then the other question, of course, is if the judge did not really understand that no statutes within the county and or state of Hawaii addresses the concerns of the intervening parties, not the plaintiffs, how is it possible that he would even say, make that determination on the face of it? It seems like, you know, I mean, unless he's in, you know, up in some tree or something, that he would be aware that our legal structure in the state did not do an adequate job of addressing the concerns that the bill supposedly addresses. I don't know. It's really, you know, I'm inclined to quote the old, you know, money talks and you know what walks. I think it's just sad that, you know, that the health of our people are being, you know, the health of our people is being compromised by these mega corporations. And I'm totally agree with the lady from India, and how she characterized these munition companies morphing into agricultural pharmaceutical companies and then morphing into our GMOs, and then her final, you know, bottom comment regarding the fact that when she was talking to some individuals of the mega corporations saying, well, this is basically all about making money because they could patent whatever and then use these patents to make bucks, and because of the declining revenue of the corporations that are somewhat based in America. But what I find extremely interesting is Japan, for example, has a small population compared to us. However, they have a third of all the patents in the world. So I think that, you know, it has to do with our educational structure and the mentality of our people in America, that, you know, we should be able to turn up a little smarter individuals who can figure out ways to make money as opposed to doing all these heinous machinations that would jeopardize our own people's health.
Mm.
But that's my 2 cents, Brada. You know, I mean, there's so many questions, but thank you for your wonderful program.
Yeah, well, that's thank always. You for calling in. It's a wonderful program when we have callers, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your mana'o with us.
Well, thank you for helping the community.
No worries.
Yeah.
We're here for you. This is our community radio and Kauai Community Radio. We're almost at the top of the hour. I don't know if I'm premature when I say you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. That's right. 90.9 FM on the Honolulu dial, 92.7 in Anahola Moloa'a. That's where you're from, Tim.
Yeah.
And 91.9 Islandwide on Oahu. You'll catch us at 104.7 and 95 on the cable. Streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. And we got a phone line that's... there we go. And, you know, we got to play that one, too. Thanks. My partner here is saying, you know, don't forget to play the disclaimer. And so before that, I want to let you know that this out-of-the-box special is made possible by the good folks like you and partners like Aya's Garden and Hawaii Life, making it all happen for us. So I'm going to make sure I got my cart up and hit the right button, and we'll see if we go there.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply in Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Let me not forget about Mokihana coming on up.
Ha'ahea nui o Mokihana Pest Control. E kako o aku, I ka mahalama ana I ka olela makua hine, a me nga mele o Hawaii. Eo KKCR.
Eo KKCR. Hey, I think I got the wrong one, and my glasses are... I thought it said Mokihana Festival, but it says Mokihana Pestable. No, I'm only joking. It's not the Mokihana Pestable. Here we go. So we're going to play this one really quick. But thanks for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And I got to do this before I do that. I'm feeling a little vanished today.
Oh.
We'll go one more time.
We were born before the wind. Also younger than the sun. And if only both was one. Now we sail into the mystery. Hard night, hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea and feel the sky.
Yeah.
just wanna rock your soul, baby. I just wanna rock your soul.
Second hour of this two-hour community forum. The phone lines are open at 826-7771. We have been discussing the decision to appeal or not to appeal. Should we or should we not? There we go. Tim, you're on.
I'm on, you know, and here we go. We got to put that disclaimer. You got to find that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I do. You know,
views and opinions.
Where's that? Yeah, let's see.
Our own and reflect nobody else.
There we go, like this, something like that.
Okay.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Just to be clear.
That's clarity. I like that. I like that.
So yeah. Now go ahead, Doug. Okay. Doug, go ahead. Tim.
We're back on
share
it, man.
I'm
going to share my monotone, and hopefully the listenership out there as well, too, will want to chime in, you know, and call us about this as well, too. You know, but we got into the situation where we're really looking at something a lot bigger than just the sake of the corporation, what's happening here, man. Let's turn it around. Let's look at us. We're looking at us, the community members here, the community as a whole of County of Kauai. And, you know, here we go. They're coming. They're coming. But in the course of that, what I'm talking about is how do we deal with our health and the safety issues? You know, what are going to be the social costs of what is happening here? And if we don't have any kind of science or anything backing this, you know, with the exception of the corporation telling us, oh, this is safe. You know, for some reason, I just don't feel good about that. I wish there was science out there to tell us otherwise. And then I'm going to go to the place and space. Why is the burden of proof on us as the community that we got to sit here and pony up our hard-earned money and everything else to disprove these corporations that are polluting and creating genocide on our island? Shouldn't it be the other way around? I mean, come on. If it's that safe, then give us the science that proves us that. Don't make us have to go out there and put our kids and our kapuna out there as guinea pigs. And when they're dying left and right, or they're getting nosebleeds and things like this, and all these other issues coming up, and then you're saying, oh, well, that could be a possible thing or a side effect. But we really don't know because we don't have the science, and you can't prove that. And until you do, we're going to sit here and continue creating this toxic dump site on the island of Kauai, you know, and you guys just have to kind of live with that. And maybe one day it may work out to where you can prove us wrong, and then when you do, we'll pick up and we'll just kind of scanter away. But until that point in time, what do we do, people? Do we sit here and do we just kind of expect or accept this to happen. I think the process that we're going through with these attorneys saying that we should run this mile and take the course and not just only take one person's opinion about what is really happening here, but that we should go through the appeal process all the way through, you know, as the best we can, because there we truly do stand a chance, I think, to stand up against these people and to maybe even, you know, show a different side to some of the opinions or the briefs that came out, you know, by the judge and what he presented to us. So that's my opinion. I think that we should, and I do support the appeal process, and I would like to feel that our county would feel as such, too, to protect us as a community.
There we go. Yeah, the caller just decided to hang up on us. So, caller, if you'd like to go on the air, call us back. Be patient. Yes, sometimes we can be long-winded, but that happens. But anyways, the phone line is open, 826-7771 for us. And we are talking about the Ordinance 960 and what should the county do, appeal or not to appeal. I've got something that was in the Star Advertiser, written by West Side resident Malia Chun. Malia wrote to the Star Advertiser, and this is what she had to say. Bear with me as I get it up here on the screen. 7 years ago, I had the opportunity to build my own home in Kekaha on the west side of Kauai. This is an opportunity that many young families, let alone single mothers such as myself, cannot afford to experience in Hawaii. Kekaha is a rural, close-knit community consisting of many first- and second-generation plantation workers, fishermen, hunters, and the Ihawans. At first, I saw this transition as a blessing, an opportunity to raise my children in a safe, community-minded environment just a block from the beautiful white sand beaches and 20 minutes away from Koke'e State Park. Little did I know at the time that in a matter of 3 years, I would be surrounded by open-air test sites for genetically engineered crops sprayed constantly with toxic chemicals year-round, even as at night as we sleep. The only thing that stands between my new home and these toxic chemicals is a polluted irrigation ditch. The sad fact is that I live in Hawaiian homesteads amongst one of the largest pure Native Hawaiian native-speaking populations in the state of Hawaii, people who are considered an endangered human race, and we are surrounded by and exposed to restricted-use pesticides on a daily basis. What have I learned in the last 7 years of being a resident of Kekaha is that the number of people who suffer from physical ailments on the west side of Kauai is astounding. As a result of the physical ailments that my daughter and I started to experience 3 years ago and are still suffering from, I've taken it upon myself to educate my family, my community, on the dangers of restricted-use pesticides, how other counties have been affected through exposure, and how our food system has been compromised by genetically modified foods and byproducts. I have been an active voice at protests, rallies, marches, and hearings, trying to get laws passed that will protect our community and allow us the basic human rights of knowledge and protection. Kauai's Ordinance 960 provided a very basic protection for our community. It asked companies to tell us when they were spraying pesticides, what they were spraying and testing, and to create no spray buffer zones around our children's schools, our hospitals, and our homes. These are not radical demands. These are basic protections for our safety. I am deeply disturbed and disappointed by the court decision last month to invalidate this modest law. Although it is the opinion of Judge Barry Curran that counties should not take the actions required in Ordinance 960, communities like mine have nowhere else to turn. This measure was a step in the right direction toward providing our community and my ohana with some much needed and deserved answers and working towards a cleaner, healthier future for our keiki and for our Kauai. This decision valued and protected corporate profit and trade secrets over people's simple, basic human right to know what toxic chemicals they are being exposed to in an excessive amount almost daily. Denying the county's abilities to pass legislation regarding environment and health is taking away the voice of the people who rely on this land for sustenance, which is something that is not being represented at the state or national level. The county's kuleana is to protect our keiki and kupuna, and we remain ever committed to ensuring that we are safe. The future of Hawaii depends upon the action we take today. And that is from Malia Chun, resident of Kekaha, and she wrote that just recently, posted in the Star Advertiser, and I pulled that off the Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action, HAPA, off their Facebook page. We do have another phone call, maybe the phone caller earlier. Aloha, caller. Thanks for joining us and hearing Out of the Box.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, there's a lot of controversy here in Hawaii about owning lands.
Yes.
And I have a question about, these companies that are leasing lands or from people that say they own the lands. And I'm wondering, has anybody done any title search or deed searching to find out if these companies actually have the right to lease or to sell lands? Especially since I understand that the King of Hawaii had patented these lands, and in a patent you can't change it. So how do they claim to own a piece of land when it's a patent originally?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. I'm sure there's some well-versed in land law and Hawaiian history. I'm not that person. I don't know. I know that there's definitely contested lands in our state, and that there are a number of claims as well as active action being taken to clarify what is the state's kuleana in regards to ceded lands and how that is going to be resolved. It's still up in the air. It's probably in court somewhere as well. You raise a great question.
You know, burden of proof is that it seems that really they have the burden of proof to prove that to us first before they go and force their corporate declarations on us.
Well, I believe it's in their mind, and this is speculation on my part, that they feel justified because they've entered in a contract with a legal entity called the State of Hawaii and have leased state lands or from private landowners like the Robinsons or GNR, Gay and Robinson Holdings. Grow Farm is also one of those groups that does large landowners that do lease to the chemical companies for agricultural purposes.
Well, I have another question then. If it's
sure,
go to the state laws and all that, then they're wanting us to vote. It seems like the cat in the hen house has got all the everything covered. Because if you go and register to vote, then you're signing away your rights because you're agreeing that you will be represented by the vote. And if that vote is jaded in any manner, or if it's like being toward the side of the state of Hawaii, then
right.
I think that maybe there needs to be another way to vote and to step to, you know, establish the truth in
mm-hmm.
this matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no argument from me, that's for sure.
Well, let's establish one then. You know, I know that when the Department of Interior came, their statement said that they don't care what form of government, just as long as the people are running it. So let's get together, people, and run a government and represent ourselves so we don't have to put up with this crap anymore. Because I don't want to breathe that poison. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. And you know what? Another thing is this company, Monsanto, is tied into IG Farben, which was the company that was indicted for war crimes in Nuremberg for they manufactured the mustard gas for extermination of humans.
Yeah, so we know that they have potential.
The Bayer Corporation, too, which is owned by the Bushes,
mm-hmm.
they make the same poisons that you know, these are the two major corporations. One of them's owned by the Bush Company, or Bush Corp, Family Corporation, whatever you want to call
Bush
it.
The Bush Corporation.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
That's true.
I hope the people get smart because just voting ain't going to help. You got to be active and you know, speak out. Aloha.
Aloha. That's true. The people got to get active, got to get activated, and get involved. We got another involved caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air with Tim Kalai, Jimmy Trio, on Kauai Community Radio, Out of the Box.
Hey, Bob. How you going, man?
Good, good. How are you, my friend?
Okay. You know, I was working out at the landfill a long time ago, and I used to drive out there early in the morning, and one morning I was driving past Barakai Burger King in Lihue, by Kukui Grove,
yep.
And a big spray was on the side of the road. And I was just driving, I could smell them. Mm. So that's no poison smell. Eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
But anyway, what about Kim? I was thinking, how is all these businesses around there pushing health freaks? And eye doctors and therapists, and we get a letter club, we're serving food, and we allow this kind of spraying.
Mm.
Who the ag guy sitting in the office who didn't pass that spray permit? That's how you get down to it.
Right.
That's you go true. And find that guy's name and you put him somewhere in a paper or whatever. Say, this guy is the guy who did it.
Right.
Because that's what it's coming down to.
You're right. It is coming down to.
Pulling these guys right out of the office and putting his name right out in the open and saying, it's your daddy. Right?
And
you know what I mean?
Sure. No,
that's what needs to be done for have people be held accountable. Mm. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I smell that. I seen that. I went, wow, the runoff. You go right down to the church. In the stream.
Right.
Come on to Kingfield. And mm-hmm. in the other direction, get the school. Eh?
Oh.
And then the water go over by Kukui Grove. But anyway, you know, it's all a bunch of hogwash. And what I'm saying, it's already known. What the guy was just saying is already known
mm-hmm.
about all these chemicals and all this stuff. It's already out there.
Yeah.
So, it's our people who run in the trip who allow it. Because big business runs America.
Well, and I think that's where we're at now, is that people have, for long enough, and enough of us have said, wait a minute, that's not right. Wait a minute, there should be a law. Wait a minute, you know, there is a law, but
so
someone should do their job.
They thought kicking us around a long time ago. They thought it was all done and good.
Right.
Right? They talk about taking advantage of our children and our women and our culture, our language, and they thought it was just going to be go away.
You're right.
Right.
How you think these... When you create this whole this trip, that's what they like. This system, how they're allowing their laws is for continue this government.
Mm-hmm.
We got to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that said, why not just stop all of the spraying of the GMO crops from Honolulu Bridge west, okay, or Wailoa River, the other way,
mm-hmm.
and leave it as, you know what I mean, control it, and just keep it in an area, because it's not going nowhere, as we can see, they're here to stay, our government, there's no way, so, what kind of compromise now are we looking at, and that's what's going down right now, is this push and pull, with the guy with the one hook trying to catch an Obama, and the guy sitting behind the Fort Knox and all his big money in his, you know what I mean?
Mm,
this guy's
totally.
Scrubs.
That's it.
So, what are we going to do?
Well, you know what? There is a way to stop this. And truly, whether we know it or not, corporations only exist when you sit there and you buy their products. Bottom line is if you educate yourself about this and you know buy their products, or you start boycotting anything that has to do with these people, and you start telling your Ohana, and then you have your Ohana tell somebody else's Ohana, eventually, if it's not coming through, that's how you dissolve the corporation. The corporation only exists for the Kala. So if you don't buy their products, guess what? It ain't going to happen. And that's where we still have the power. And we have to realize that. And you can't buy into this delusion. You know, when they put this stuff on TV, oh, you got to have this or you got to have this. It's going to make you do, you know, it's going to make you be, oh, you're going to be Superman, this, that, whatever. No, you got to come to the realization, you know, that when you do this stuff, you are adding to your own demise, because it's still keeping these corporations rolling and growing. And that's where the power lies, within us. We as consumers have to change our way of thinking. You know, if you want this really to stop. And that's just another way on a different front that you could make that happen.
Unreal. It's expensive, but...
Yeah, well, you know what
gotta
I mean?
Gotta grow more stuff, but...
Exactly.
Get started,
but we got to get back to roots, brah. Like you said, the way your ancestors and our ancestors did it. The right way. They never had this stuff. They never had these problems.
No,
they never had these issues. There was no need. They lived simple.
Yeah, the times have changed, huh?
Hey, everybody got to have one new iPhone, right? For what? Bras, sitting right next to you, and the kids are iPhoning and texting. They can't take the time to just look at each other and talk with their va'a. You know what I mean? Instead, they got to have the fancy iPhone. For real.
Well,
come on.
Wait.
Yeah.
Because the way it is right now is you figure contamination is extreme in one geographical area. And then you got spraying that diffuses off of that, and contamination is getting less percentage-wise the farther you get away from the spray.
Well, what
happened? And then runoff going to the river. So what I'm thinking of is where they exist already is to control already right now what is existing.
Right. Yeah.
So that bug will creep all the way up Kapahi, Wailua, the backside where guys go hunt.
Right.
And then they go up above, you know, all the Kapaha zone and, you know, Kipana or wherever. And they start coming into this area where we get plenty of rainfall.
Yeah. Well,
and
this...
more rain water coming off of the flats. So, you know, for me, because I need honey, and I think about the honey a lot and contamination in terms of the honey.
Right.
I would rather keep them hovering in one zone. You know, I'm not saying that it's not good. It is not good because of the pesticides. But, you know, in terms of where you're going to buy your stuff from, you know, I wouldn't want to say it because, you know, it takes away from people's business.
Right.
This is true.
But it's a fact of life. And it's not something that I've created it, but that's why if your honey going to be dirty, how are you going to be able to push that to people? If it's a highly concentrated form coming off of these trees and these sprays. So I don't think people really tinker in recreation, which is a deep issue. And we went from, you know, because this is 100% growing season in the Garden Island. So I'm just, you know, that's my concern, because I make mead, and we need honey, and we need the beekeepers, and we need pollination. So I would put out that suggestion to what's existing right now in the spraying going on, because get locals who spray around regularly or all over the place, round up like that. We already get that existing. When we talking about these big sprays, and if we can control that already, it would be nice. That would be nice to keep it in that zone, but if the people feel it's okay, majority-wise, then you guys seen voting is right. Vote them out. Or vote them for stay inside, because these people, some of them in the west side, they don't like it. Some do. What is the vote percentage? You know, but it's rolling already, so keep them on that side. It's not like we being discriminative about it. We don't like you guys. We love everybody. But if you consider that being poison, yeah, stay out of sight, Wailua River. Anyway, God bless. Aloha.
Hey, God bless and aloha. And we got another caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air joining us with the discussion about Ordinance 960 and to appeal or not to appeal.
Okay, first of all, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, we got to appeal. All right? I think it's important, but I want to refer to several things. One, the letter that Malia Chan wrote is a beautiful letter.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother who called, you know, I really appreciated his comments. And the reason why I'm talking is because they have this new website that's being funded by the petrochemical firms called Take Back Kauai. And they're trying to give the impression that this movement to expose pesticides and disclose pesticides and to protect our community is a howling movement. It's not a howling movement. This is a people's movement, you know. And it's an old trick of divide and conquer. You know, and I think it's really bad that they're using race, that, oh, it's the howlings from the north side versus the local people. You know, you've got even people like John Conroe referring to that. You know, but it's not a racial issue. It's an issue that belongs to all the people. And furthermore, if we're going to be talking about race, all these companies that run the petrochemical firms, they're all white-owned, right?
Right.
You know, so Syngenta, right? BASF.
Right.
You know, all these companies are owned by white people.
Right.
So let's not talk about locals versus howlies, yeah? Because there's a lot of local people like Malia Chan and myself and the brother that called, we're concerned about the health of these islands, Dustin Barker being one of them. Yeah?
True.
And, you know, so they're going to be trying to do this kind of garbage that it's a racial kind of thing, but it's not.
No.
There's a lot of newcomers and a lot of Haoles that support 960, but there's people of all different nationalities and from all walks of life that do. And there's a lot of working people that do, a lot of union members that do.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of peeved off with my union, the HGEA, for supporting one of the biggest anti-union firms in the world, Syngenta, by backing up Atta Bruun.
Right.
What does Atta Bruun have to do with unionism? These guys hate unions. You know? They don't believe in unionism. They don't believe in workers' power.
Right.
You know? None of those companies are unionized except for Kauai Coffee. You know, so these guys don't represent the interests of the working class. They represent the interests of the corporations. And that's what Nell is doing, and that's what Roscoe is doing, and that's who Errol Kaneshiro represents. He represents Grow Farm. These guys are representing the interests of the multinational corporations, you know. And they just happen to be owned by white folks, right? But, so it's not a racial issue. It's a class issue. It's an issue of the 99%, that's all of us, versus the 1% of whom some of these guys on our council are allied with. So mahalo to Malia Chan and to the brother that called and to all the people that are organizing in support of 960, and we should appeal this thing. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sentiments. I appreciate that. It is an issue of the people and how the people's representatives are maybe mixed up on this one. I think there's a lot to be said for Mel Raposo and Ross Kagawa's position that they just believe the state should be doing this and the state should be doing the job. It's more appropriate for the state. I don't think that Ross or Mel feel that this isn't an issue of importance or that Ross and Mel feel like spraying pesticides is an acceptable thing near homes or hospitals or schools. I don't think that if you were to ask them that they would feel, you know, that to support 960 is to be anti-ag. I think they just feel different than, say, Joanne Yukimura or Gary Hooser that the county should do something since the state isn't. And we got another phone call here. Phone call.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Anyway, I've been on the phone for too long. I should be listening to the rest of the people that are calling in.
But you got the phone line on right now.
Okay. Thank you for giving me the time and aloha.
Aloha. Yeah. Thank you. I thought we had another caller, but here we go. We call him I. Here we go. New caller, are you there?
Hello.
Aloha. You're joining us here on Out of the Box.
You know, I'm glad that man. He called last week and he brought up this issue about take back Kauai, and people were going, well, take it back from who? I mean, the corporations and the United States, they already own Hawaii. They stole it a century ago. You know, I mean, it's a spoof on, they're trying, when they say a small group of Haoles, you know, like, they're basically trying to get this old stigma of, like, the hippies. This small group of Haoles aren't, like, regular, like, doctors and lawyers and official type of people. They're just these, like, health food nuts left over from the hippie generation, right?
Right.
But then you'd wonder, you'd go, well, who are the Hawaiians? Because a lot of people like the mayor, Ross Kagawa, you know, they'll probably, even though I'm not sure what their ancestry, and this is the point, it doesn't really matter because the ancestry is the Hawaiian Islands, the beautiful, natural, pristine grace of Hawaii, you know, even before it was even inhabited by human beings, right? But I wonder, you know, who these people, who are they? Are they referring to themselves as Hawaiians? Like the mayor, does he consider himself a Hawaiian? I mean, his family's lived here in Hawaii. You know, a lot of these city council members that take pictures with these executives that from all the chemical companies because they're their friends and they want to vote them into office. You know, I mean, because the people that I consider, like, even though, you know, Hawaiians is just a gene pool, it's the color of your skin, it has something to do with ancestry, but I would think that any real Hawaiian, the mindset would want to be natural living, that pesticides are bad. GMOs must go, all the GMO. And because that common sense value, it wouldn't matter what color skin, what nationality, how long you've lived in Hawaii, for how many generations, or whether you're, you know, because if I was considered myself a Hawaiian, a real authentic Hawaiian, you know, no offense to the Hawaiian, because I can't speak for anybody else but myself, but I'd naturally be against pesticides. You know, I'd naturally realize that they cause illness and cancers and ill health. And I'd want them out of here as soon as possible. And so, I mean, and then I'd be proud of myself. I'd go, this is part of my Hawaiian tradition. Is living off the land, the mana, the energy of the land. It's something that I should protect. At any rate, I don't know if you ever have the mayor on your show, or Ross Kugawa, like you always invite them. Can you hear me still?
Oh yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're listening.
We're listening.
We just don't want to interrupt.
I'd like you to ask him if they consider themselves Hawaiian. You know, anyways, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Really appreciate the call in. And we got another caller stacked up here. Aloha caller. You're talking to Tim Kalai, Jimmy Trujillo on Kauai Community Radio. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. Hey, I know that 960 is a hot button issue. And believe me, I'm all supportive trying to get it enacted. But I'm also really concerned about effort to bring back the stupid fairy and the meeting they're going to have in Oahu next week. Has anybody got any information on any groups from Kauai or any of the other counties plan on going there and maybe bringing up some of the other problems associated with that boondoggle?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any organized effort from Kauai groups or statewide groups that are going to be representative of their interest there. You know, personally, I guess, you know, this is a meeting that's being kind of called together from a variety of different interest groups. Sure, there's some probably widespread support for it from neighbor islands. Certainly the mass population on Oahu would love to be able to load up their truck and go camping on the Big Island or come to Kauai.
I just seen in the midweek, that was the question of the week.
Yeah, so, you know, you bring up a good point, and I'm not sure what the, if you will, organized opposition is.
Well, let me put this back. Anybody wants to, you know, go on over there and present, maybe we can get together and go together. My name is Randy. I'll give you my phone number.
Randy, let's write that down for folks.
I got him.
Go ahead, Randy.
It'll probably be better to go by email, okay?
Sure,
The email is inthecauses, I-N, D like dog, A like apple, CAUSES in the causes at gmail.com. And I'd be interested in getting together with some people and talking about presenting a different opinion probably than what's going to be promoted over there and trying to get in front of some people.
Yeah, and primarily your if you will, resistance or opposition to the super ferry is based on...
I think it's just if they want to start, they should start by reimbursing the state the $40 million that they caused if they went bankrupt.
There you go.
And they can, once they pony up that money, then we can start talking about how they can fund it privately.
Yeah,
I don't want any more of my money going towards that thing.
Yeah. Well, and I just wonder, you know, because I think there's confusion and people think that it's the super ferry that's going to be brought back, or are we just talking about an inter-island ferry that addresses all the environmental concerns, whether it's invasive species or hidden
whales? We all know that it's not possible to address all the environmental concerns and leave a footprint that is not significant impact, at least on this island. It's just not possible. And I don't, you know, they can bring up all the issues they want, how they want to mitigate them, but I think Lebed said it pretty well. You really can't stop mongoose, and you really can't stop people smuggling over crack, and you can't really stop people from taking the surfboard out of the back of my truck and taking it to Oahu, and you really can't stop all the people on the Waianae Coast from coming over here and hanging out at Poolahalli.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a big question, and, I mean, at the very least, it's good that there's some meetings happening before they decide to just roll out the red carpet and say we're open for business.
Right.
Right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to bring it up because a lot of people listen to this radio.
Randy, share us your email again.
If you want to get in touch with me and see about trying to get in front of this before it gets too far, use that email.
One more time. What is it? INDACAUFES.
Into causes.
Causes at Gmail.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Mahalo, Randy.
Thanks a lot,
appreciate
Randy.
That. We got another caller right there, so keep the phone calls coming. It's 826-7771. That's the number in. Or if you're off island and you want to talk story about the super ferry because you want it here, or don't, you know, give us a call at 866-275-1112. Caller, you are on the air.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to follow up on the second to last caller's comment on what it means to be Hawaiian.
Okay.
The thing I find interesting is I always tell people when I talk the story to folks on the mainland, I tell them, well, the motto is, of Hawaii, the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness.
There you go.
Meaning, from the Old Testamental context, right relationship, because they were influenced by the Christian doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, then I was just, you know, I also like shoot up the evening news, and I've been noticing on the local news they've been running these ads that are, they're characterizing them as a anti-farming initiative. In other words, the ban on GMOs, okay? I don't know if you've seen these on local TV. So they're trying to say, well, if you ban the GMO folks, you're actually acting anti-farming, and hence the loss of local jobs. So it's a very, very sad ad. But, the bottom line is, I think, regardless of your position, I think one should, you know, educate oneself, because I always look on all sides of the issues. That's just the way I was educated, and I think that's a wise way to go. So I remember, I think it was Dr. Scott who was here. He was a professor who was hired by these corporations to do research on glyphosate, on Roundup, etc. And then we found out that, yes, it was actually harming, you know, the frogs and causing hormone disruptions, that the company came, I think it was Monsanto, came after with him with a vengeance, trying to characterize him in using what they call the argumentum ad hominem, which means that, you know, whatever you say, I can invalidate your intellectual position or your research because I can find perhaps a flaw in your character or something untoward, okay, something amiss.
Right.
I think it was Dr. Scott's research, from all I understand, is that the chemical called glyphosate in what they're spraying on the GMO seed crops is bad. But what I find more than sad is, I'm going around the island, I see the local folks, they're spraying the Roundup. Well, Roundup with astaxanthin, perhaps not pronouncing it correctly, this is 1,000 times more dangerous than the stuff they're spraying on the GMO crops. And the local folks who are, you know, wearing the flip-flops, yeah, they're wearing the gloves, but then they got the shorts on, the t-shirts, they are being exposed to 1,000 times the pesticide level of danger that that this glyphosate, which is one of the herbicides or pesticides that they spray on the GMO development for the seeds. So I think that, you know, once you just start, you know, instead of like doing whatever you're doing on the internet, you know, just educate yourself on pesticides. And then whatever you learn, it may be correct, it may be incorrect, but the point is, it's a place to start. And then, you know, people will not so be readily available to pull the wool of your eyes, whatever the side of the argument you're on, okay? That's just my suggestion. I'm continuing for the last 5 years. I've read over 100 books on health, and every, you know, it seems like each book only has about 3 or 4 salient points which are distinct from the other books, but, you know, I'm always looking into, you know, and I'm always looking for more and more information, and I have totally switched to a vegan diet, even though maybe a little bit of fish. But the point is, you know, just start doing the research yourself, and it's very exciting to find this stuff out. Because I don't know it all, and I'm thankful that I don't know it all.
There you go. Well, we have some other callers that want to share. Thank you for sharing your mana'o. And the doctor's name was Tyrone Hayes. He was hired by Syngenta to do research for atrazine, was the chemical, if you will, that he was charged to look into. We have another phone call right now. Aloha, caller. You are on the air. Getting to the end of our show.
Thank you. Aloha. Yeah, a lot of great information today. It's unfortunately, we're kind of like preaching to the choir. Most of the people that listen to your great show are kind of already there.
Yeah,
and,
we're preaching to the choir.
That's
so.
Okay.
Well,
maybe we may get somebody new.
We all pretty much agree on this information, and I wish that there were people that aren't getting this information that they could get it, you know, because they don't listen to your show. But my request today is just really simple, and that you know, there's only 18 days left to register to vote.
Oh, great advice.
Just 18 days.
18
of, you know, weekdays that you know you can go down there till October 6th. And I think it was Jonathan Jay yesterday was saying, you know, that if you can get 2 people to register, and then they can get 2 people to register, and then learn the voting process too, because a lot of these kids that are registering have never voted before. So I'm hoping that there are people, you know, willing to help all these young local kids that have stepped up to the plate and that I've helped register to vote. They've never voted, and their vote could be dissed if, you know, they don't do it properly. So that's really important. And I'm also concerned about who is going to be counting the votes.
I always suggest that's really kind of an important position there, is the vote counter.
Exactly. So I believe that Barca's team is going to have somebody on board at all times during this. But, we have a chance to at least make a really big showing, you know, whether the results are going to be yay or nay. We have at least an opportunity to show this old boy network that there are many people now that you know the gig is up. You know, there's just too much of this paying off, and you know, things under the table going on. And I believe anything like the Super Ferry is has to do with the military, and I don't trust any of that activity. The military could care less if there's a plant growing on this island, let alone a person, and that's part of their issue.
Yeah, well, there you go. And you're not the Lone Ranger. A number of people feel the same way or very similar to yours. Thanks so much for calling. We've got another caller that we're going to take.
Yeah, you got it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing pretty well. We're getting to the last 10 minutes of the show. What do you got to share with us and the listeners?
My question is regarding the GMO.
Yes.
Isn't there a way that we can put the GMO on the ballot and the voters can vote one way or the other if they would like them to stay or would like them to go, and go from there and just get an idea of what the populace would say? But there's got to be a way where this issue of them just staying or going could actually go on the this year's ballot maybe, or next year.
Yeah, I guess Thanks for that call. We'll let you take the answer off the air. It is something that has been considered. There was a recent this past summer, an effort by a local group, Kauai Rising, to get a number of signatures so that there could be a ballot initiative. And, of course, it got somewhat convoluted in regards to, is this a ballot initiative? Is it a referendum? Is it a change to the charter? So it got kind of bottled up into a legalese issue, and we didn't, I guess, anticipate the wording, or we didn't understand the process as well as we could have. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on what side of the fence you are on, isn't going to make it on this ballot coming up. So it just gives us more time, if we're so inclined, to go out there, pound the pavement, and figure out what is going to be the best way to address the issue via the ballot.
Hey, and let me put something out there too, Jimmy. Let's say that did get on the ballot. And let's say even if it did get on the ballot, somehow or another, it didn't work out like we thought that it would.
Mm-hmm.
Then what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, you know, that people said, you know what, it's okay if we have the kind here, you know, and let's just keep on business as business is.
Yeah, well, that's
then,
always
then
the
what
chance.
Happens, you know? Well, then what do we do?
You know, you're going to do the same thing you've always been doing. You know, you're not going to buy that stuff. You're
right.
Not going to use that stuff. You're
exactly.
Not going to, you know, go around promoting that stuff, because that's not what you do.
And I will try to hopefully educate my brothers and sisters that have not been up to snuff about this so
mm-hmm.
that they do understand the ramifications and the detrimental effects. But let's take it one more. What happens if our tourism industry, which our economy is based upon, all of a sudden starts declining next year? Because all of this stuff somehow leaks out and gets transported over to the mainland or around the world, for that fact, that we're sitting on one of the biggest toxic dump sites that we could possibly have, and we call it paradise. Then what happens? How are we going to change that for the rest of us with the rest of our economy? And what's happening here on the island of Kauai? You know, if we have this and all of a sudden we can't get rid of it, and then nobody wants to come here anymore.
Shame on you.
I'm sorry if I brought that up.
That's all I can say. Shame on you.
Shame, shame, shame.
You know what I mean?
It's like,
okay, so if that happens, then we've learned a painful lesson.
Have we?
Right. Well, I hope so. I mean, if we're going to...
Who's going to buy our product, man?
That's it. You know, those folks that are
Hawaii-based product, what is that?
Yeah, willing to put on a gas mask, or willing to,
sure.
you know, go ahead and submit a sample and give a urine sample, yeah. or maybe a... you know, all of that stuff is things to consider, that's for sure. We're going to do something right here quickly.
If you are a candidate for political office and would like to speak to Kauai on KKCR, call in to our public affairs talk shows at 826-7771, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 4 and 6 p.m.
There we go. We've taken a little bit of a break of political candidates in the out-of-the-booth spot, but don't worry, it's heating up, and there's definitely room for more. So if you're a political candidate or a supporter of a political candidate, give us a call. Set up a time where you might be able to come in, talk story, or you might be able to get in on the voice of Kauai and share your mana'o, where you stand on the issue of the super ferry or taxes or birds and lights at our stadiums and all that good stuff. That's something to consider. And I want to play this one again because, well, I didn't play it in the first hour.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
There we go. That was a double shot, X-Men and CZM. Telling it like it is. And we're 5 minutes away from the acoustic luau, so please keep it locked in here on the Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. Maren's getting her selections ready, and Tim and I will be moving on over for two more hours of fine music, which will be followed up by another 2 hours of fine music. Slim's in the house with the mystery train loading up at the station. And it's been a fine hour and 55 minutes with you all. Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box. The phone line is 826-7771 if you want to squeeze in one last call, because we got a, what do we call that, a phone call coming in right now. Hang on, because Tim is on the phone talking to another caller, and we'll get that on up to you as best as we can. And 2 weeks from today, Tim and I will more than likely be back, but we also know that there are a couple of forums that are going to be hosted by the Kauai Chamber, and that's one more way for you, the listener, and our voting audience to stay informed, find out where our candidates stand on these issues, and you know, it's just one more way to participate in our democracy. It is an active role that you need to participate in. Also, the fact that there is an election that only happens every other year for our candidates for council. This one's a big one. There's a mayoral race happening as well. So we'll see how well the voter turnout comes out, and who is going to be our next seven council members, because you know, they're the ones that make decisions that sometimes we're happy with that, sometimes we're not. And I think it's important, when you're happy with them, show your love. And when you're not, show the love, but just let them know, hey, you're not so happy with them. And then if you get their ear and you get the opportunity to share your perspective and make it presentable in such a way that might convince them to change their point of view, you might be successful in having legislation go in your favor. I'm not sure if we're going to get a phone call coming up here. Here we go, the last one. We're squeezing them in. Aloha, caller. Hey. You're on the air. We got a couple minutes, so if you can, be brief and okay. Share what you got.
Okay. Chief Perry, our current police chief, is running for county council.
He is. It's true.
I think it's only fair that Chief Perry should come on one of your talk shows and give us his mano and his agenda for wanting to get on the council to begin with, and what he thinks about the GMO issue, what he thinks about medical marijuana, what he thinks about a whole lot of stuff that affects our island. You know, I mean, I think one of the last callers that said that, you know, if the word gets out that we are a toxic pool over here and our reefs are dying and all this, it's going to hurt all of us. I've lived here 27 years. It's going to hurt all of us.
Yeah.
So it's time to step up to the plate. And if you're going to run for county council, well, you should come on the show and express why you want to run for county council. And after 27 years here, our KPD, our Kauai Police Department, is some of the coolest guys. You know, they are way better than the mainland. So, you know, I'm not anti-police at all. I think we got some great KPD officers over here.
Well, there you go, and we'll try to get Chief Perry or Candidate Perry on the air.
Yeah,
and
that's
thanks
a
for
shout
your...
out. I want Chief Perry to come on and say why he like get on.
There we go. Well, we'll do that. Mahalo's for sharing your mana'o with us, and mahalo's for you listening out there in listener land. One second left before the show's all over, but Marin's waiting patiently. So, Marin, thanks so much. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you, guys. Going out with a little bit of van to carry you home, and enjoy the sweetness from the sounds of your community radio.